tragedy befalls the Russian Knights demo team. The weapon that would never work seems to be working. And should NASA hand off low Earth orbit to the private sector? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 18th, 2009. ANN is sad to report that a mid-air collision between a single-place Su-27 and a two-place Su-27UB combat trainer on Sunday killed the leader of the Russian Knights Precision Aerobatic Team. The accident occurred during final rehearsal for Russia's largest air show, MAX 2009, in the town of Zhukovsky. Witnesses say all pilots ejected after the planes collided. An ITAR TASS reports the body of Igor Tichenko, along with his parachute and ejection seat, were found nearby. The two other pilots were found alive, one reported to have suffered a spinal fracture. Five people on the ground were reportedly injured and four buildings damaged when the aircraft hit the ground. Officials say the cockpit voice and data recorders have been recovered and will be examined. Following its last scheduled public meeting last week, the Review of U.S. Human Spaceflight Plans Committee, commissioned by President Obama, said there was a strong consensus for funding a robust commercial human spaceflight program to provide human space transportation to the International Space Station. Not surprisingly, the companies who'd like to provide those services are delighted. Bob Hopkins, a spokesman for the Next Step in Space Coalition, commented, quote, "We are confident that U.S.-based commercial space companies will enhance the scientific and research capabilities of the ISS and ensure that funding now slated to go to Russia can contribute to high-tech jobs here at home," unquote. That funding is suggested at a level of $2.5 billion over 4 years, starting in fiscal 2011, to support development of commercial human space transport capabilities, possibly including heavy lift capabilities for space exploration beyond low Earth orbit. The committee's findings will be formally presented to the White House later this month. The U.S. Airborne Laser Program, widely criticized in the past as an idea that couldn't work, is having some success. Boeing reports that in a test conducted August 10th, a modified 747 took off from Edwards Air Force Base and used its infrared sensors to find a target missile launched from San Nicolas Island, also in California. Control systems successfully tracked the missile and measured atmospheric conditions, then fired a surrogate high-energy laser, simulating a missile intercept. Instrumentation on the target verified a hit. Michael Wrenn, Boeing VP and Airborne Laser Program Director, commented, quote, "Pointing and focusing a laser beam on a target that is rocketing skyward at thousands of miles per hour is no easy task, but the airborne laser is uniquely able to do the job," unquote. The ABL team hopes to conduct its first high-energy laser intercept test against a ballistic missile later this year. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says it's ready to roll out paperless boarding passes as fast as participating airlines want to sign up to make it happen. The agency says it's pleased with the results of a test program conducted with Continental Airlines, in which passengers can receive electronic boarding passes on the screens of their PDAs for use both at the TSA checkpoint and at the gate, eliminating paper. TSA says it now has equipment in place at 22 U.S. airports, which as of last week includes San Diego, and will continue to expand its use as airlines join the program. Up next on ANN, the F-35 successfully tests aerial refueling. Embraer reports another milestone for the Phenom 100. And the Reno Air Races welcomes back a familiar face. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Lockheed Martin reports that a short takeoff, vertical landing variant of the F-35 Lightning II stealth fighter has become the first F-35 to complete an aerial refueling test using the Navy and Marine Corps-style probe-and-drogue refueling system. Last week's successful mission is the first in a short series of tests that will clear this version of the fighter for extended-range flights, particularly to its primary test site at Naval Air Station Patuxent River in Maryland. During Thursday's flight, The F-35B began a series of tests in which fuel is uploaded into the aircraft at 10,000, 15,000, and 20,000 feet at speeds ranging from 200 to 250 knots. Unlike the U.S. Air Force's rigid probe system, Probe and Drogue uses a flexible hose that trails from the tanker aircraft. The basket-like drogue at the end of the hose connects to the receiving aircraft's probe, which in the case of the F-35 resides on the right side of the forward fuselage and retracts when not in use. Embraer says its Phenom 100, which the company describes as an entry-level executive jet, has received its type certificate from Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority, joining EASA and Brazil. Embraer promised the Phenom 100 would be a revolutionary jet with premium comfort, outstanding performance, docile flying qualities, and low operating cost. The plane has a max cruise speed of 390 knots true, that's 10 knots faster than promised, and fuel consumption up to 3.6% better than initial estimates. The long interval between scheduled maintenance, 600 flight hours or 12 months, gives the Phenom 100 a substantial advantage over competitors by requiring only 5 scheduled maintenance stops in 5 years. Embraer says more than 800 Phenom 100 and 300 models are on order worldwide. The Reno Air Races will welcome back an old friend next month, a 1949 Hawker Sea Fury, formerly known as Sky Fury when it was owned by George Baker, is back now with new owner Dr. Robin Crandall, an orthopedic surgeon. The plane is now called Sawbones. The plane's original Bristol Centaurus engine has been replaced with a Wright Cyclone 3350, making 3,000 horsepower. The plane will compete in the unlimited class and can top 400 miles per hour. The Reno Air Races will be held September 16th through the 20th. Still ahead, the U.S. Navy wants biofuel specs in place by 2013. National Airlines adds a second destination in Afghanistan. And less may be more if you build it without federal dollars. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 18th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Navy is moving full steam ahead on biofuels. The Naval Air Systems Command Fuels Team says it expects to be ready for biofuels flight tests in an F-A-18 Super Hornet at Patuxent River, Maryland by next spring or summer. Rick Kamen, Navy Fuels Lead, says static engine tests will take place, quote, probably in the December-January time frame, unquote. Of the fuels themselves, he explains, quote, our major goal is a drop-in replacement. The field won't know the difference, unquote. The feedstocks being considered by the Navy are generally not used for food. They include camelina, jatropha, and algae. Kamen says that by themselves, the resulting fuels all lack the aromatic compounds needed to penetrate and swell gaskets and seals to avoid leaks. Quote, the easiest way to get these properties back in is with a blend with petroleum-based fuels. While involved deeply in the research, the Navy says it will not produce the fuels itself, but rather come up with specifications that allow mixing with JP-5 for aircraft or F-76 for ship propulsion, then let private companies compete for the contract to provide it. Those standards are expected to be in place by 2013. National Air Cargo says its National Airlines subsidiary is adding a second weekly stop in Afghanistan to support efforts to redevelop the country. The company flies DC-8 freighters out of Ypsilanti, Michigan every Friday and started Civil Reserve Air Fleet service into Bagram Air Base back in April in support of the U.S. Transportation Command. National's Glenn Gates says the new service to Kandahar Air Base has been chartered by civilian contractors working for the U.S. military and other government agencies. Each flight can bring in up to 40 tons of supplies, including generators, pumps, hoses, and command stations for water purification systems and medical supplies to help with construction of hospitals, power plants, water treatment facilities, libraries, and other facilities in and around the bases. And finally, if you build it, they will come. Maybe. California's Riverside Press Enterprise reports the 15-year, $180 million conversion of the former Norton Air Force Base into San Bernardino International Airport is almost complete. The $80 million terminal is very nice, but so far, not a single commercial airline has committed to provide service there. Consultants say you'd have to pay an airline millions of dollars or at least share risk or guarantee no losses to get commercial service up and running. With tax revenues way off, there are no appealing options right now. Much of the money to create the airport from the abandoned base came from the federal government, and it came with strings attached. Among those strings is a requirement to offer pretty much every airline the same deal. Meanwhile, in Branson, Missouri, private equity and bonds were used to build the $155 million Branson Airport from scratch. With the resulting freedom from federal strings, the airport was able to offer route exclusivity to airlines willing to be the first in. AirTran connects Branson with Atlanta, and Sun Country serves Branson from Dallas-Fort Worth and Minneapolis-St. Paul, and both were able to count on having limited competition for a while. So, San Bernardino County, population 2 million, no airlines. Stone and Taney Counties, Missouri, total population 77,000, two airlines. Maybe they should call it the We Showed 'Em State. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'm back with Education Director Larry Wood at the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum to experience the Titan II Launch Room Simulator, complete with shaking walls. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.